The last time we discussed taking vitamins on Shabbos and whether a healthy person would be permitted to take vitamins, which we noted both according to Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman, although to different degrees, there are circumstances, and maybe all circumstances, maybe some circumstances, where vitamins would not be permissible to a normal person. Rav Moshe distinguishes between someone who is totally healthy and someone who takes vitamins to increase his health, or lechazik his mizgo, someone who has a weaker constitution, and Rosh Hashanah Zaman, who may allow vitamins where it's really a dietary supplement, but not anything short of that. Just another marmok, if you want to take a look, Rav Asher Weiss has a couple of tshuvas, min chasasher chelik bey simin lamin ches, chelik bey simin lamin ches, and chelik gimel simin kaf gimel, where initially he goes with the Rav Moshe Rav Shlomo Zalman approach that vitamins would be usher on Shabbos where it's lechazik mizgo. But then he suggests maybe there's more room to be makel nowadays where many healthy people take vitamins and it's not something that's done because of any sickness per se. And he also seems more willing to include as a sniff the possibility that the iser of medicine on Shabbos nowadays is less chomer because we're not bekeinim b'shlichus samimanim, as we saw from the Ksos HaShulchan and some others. Shmir Shabbos does point out in the beginning of Parak Lamed Vav that for a pregnant woman who's taking prenatal vitamins, so she anyway presumably has a status of at least a chola she'im bo sakana as far as her pregnancy is concerned, and therefore lichachila, if the medical effect is the same to take the vitamins before Shabbos and after Shabbos, and not have to take them on Shabbos, that would be preferable. But if it can't be timed in such a way, and there's a medical need to take them on Shabbos, so presumably she would have the status of the kind of a chola that we'd be permitted to take medicine on Shabbos, and therefore could take the vitamins as well. It doesn't mean that if she's taking vitamins for a condition that has nothing to do with her pregnancy, that would be okay. If it has nothing to do with the pregnancy, that would be the same as anyone else. But if the vitamins are pregnancy-related, then if it can't be arranged to take them before and after Shabbos, you'd be allowed to take it on Shabbos. Okay. Today's topic is the sugya of Yoledes, which is Siman Shin Lamed in Shulchan Aruch. So it's clear from the Gemara in Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis onto Kuf Kuf Tes Amud Aleph in Shabbos that a Yoledes is considered a Chola Sheyesh Ba Sakana. And the Gemara's Kiddush is that in certain circumstances, in certain ways, it could be that a Yoledes is even more chamor, or more more of a chashash sakana than by a regular chol sheyesh sakana. Or at least there's more of an allowance in the following sense. The Mishnah says, karen lach chachamim mimakam lamakam, so you're allowed to call the midwife or the person who's going to help with the birth mimakam lamakam, umbechalin aleha es ha-Shabbos. Then the Gemara says on the bottom of Kuf Kaf Ches Amud Beis, Tana Rabbanan. Oh, sorry, before that, Michti are the two dots. Mialdin as Aisha, Michti Tana Le Mialdin as Aisha, Vekarla Chaverim Mimakam Lamakam. Once you've already established that you're allowed to assist with the childbirth, and you can call the Mialedes, so what does the Mishnah add by saying Mechalin is a Shabbos? That if the woman who's giving birth needs a candle, so someone else is allowed to light the candle on her behalf. Okay, I'm skipping a little bit. Pshita, so what's the Chiddush? You already told me that you can be Mechal Shabbos for a Yoledes, that you can be Kare the Chacham and Makam LaMakam. So what do you add by telling me that you can light a candle? First, not Pasha, she's a Chalash Yesh Basakana, and you can be Mechal Shabbos for the treatment of a Chalash Yesh Basakana. Where it says, Latzvicha Besuma, we're talking about where the Yoledes is blind, so she's not going to benefit from the candle directly anyway. Ma'ad Tema came into Lachazia Aser, so you would have thought that since she can't see the candle anyway, you're not allowed to light the candle. Kamash Milan, Asuve Miyasva Daita. That nevertheless, it contributes to her Yishav Hadas. She's going to be more at ease. Savrei Kamidi Chazia Chavertav Avdali. She'll be of the mindset that if the candle's there, then the people assisting her are going to be able to see better, and they'll be able to help with whatever she needs. So that's a Gemara's Kiddush, even by a Summa where the woman herself is not going to directly benefit, where there's a Yisuve Daita factor, it's going to contribute to Yishev Adas, that's going to be Mutter. On the other hand, so that's the Erech Kiddush by Yoledes, that we go to a potentially larger extent, a greater extent to allow for Yishev Adas. We saw, on the other hand, previously, the Magen Mishnah, that we noted that was the Machlokas Rishonim. The Gemara here indicates that the Malacha that you perform for the benefit of a Yoledes should be done Ayyadei Shinoi. So that we saw the Machlokas Rishonim. Is that Dafka Yoledes, or is that for any Cholesh Yesh B'Sakana? Is this the is this reflective of a rule, or is this something unique to Yoledes? So the Magen Mishnah we saw said that it's unique to Yoledes because the nature of Sakana for Yoledes is different than your generic Cholesh Yesh B'Sakana, because the actual danger in childbirth is less prominent than your standard Cholesh Yesh B'Sakana. There's some danger, it's not a tremendous danger, so it's not the same as regular Cholesh Yesh B'Sakana. Because the nature of Yoledes is different, the Malacha should be performed where possible, at least L'Chachil Ayidei Shina. This Magen Mishnah is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah here in Simen Shin Lamed Seif Katan Hey. So it says in Shulchan Aruch there in Seif Beis, Malikin La Nera Filu Hisuma, when we call Malka, Makom Ma Sheichonu L'Shanas Mishanin. So on the one hand, you're allowed to light a candle even if she's a Suma because of the Yishev Adas. On the other hand, you should do a Shinui whenever it's possible to do a Shinui. Says in Mishnah Berurah Seif Katan Hey, so even if you hold like the Mechaber over there in Simen Shin Kaf Ches Yudalid that by Pikuach Nefesh in general you don't need a Shinoi, Hachashani Meneisha Ke'eva Yoled Distover Tivihu, that's natural. Vein Achas Me'elof Meisa Machmas Leida Lefika Chachmir B'Lashanos. That's what we saw from the Magen Mishnah, according to the Magen Avraham. Fine. So you have that balance. On the one hand, Yishev Adas is prominent. On the other hand, wherever you're able to do a Shinoi, you should do a Shinoi. The Magen Avraham just asked over here in Sifkat and Beis regarding the Suma. The Kasha Yomru Befanesh Liko and Erev Tisyash Vedaita. So if it's only because of Yishev Adas, so why didn't you just say that you did it? Let's not even say that we did. The Efshad of Yikamachem Hiroa Maris Ner. So maybe, even though she's blind, but she can sense whether there's a candle there or not. So it's not a total absolute blindness. There's a little bit of sensation. So she could tell whether there's... So you won't be able to trick her. It's in principle, if you could fool her, then you should, but you're not going to get away with it. Inami, or she'll outsmart you. She'll think that you're fooling her. So she's going to stick up two fingers and ask how many fingers, and they're going to get it wrong, so she'll realize that they're fooling her and they didn't turn on the lights.
And that the Mishnah was saying that's a special din by the Yoledes, but we do, wherever possible, we do try to use a Shinoi as opposed to other people in
that
situation.
That's the Magen Mishnah. That's the Mishnah was just quoting earlier sources. Yeah. But then the Magen Avraham is bothered, so, but bottom line, if you need the candle so that they can see what they're doing, so then why does Gemara say it's only Yishev Adas? You need the candle because they need to see what they're doing. So the Maxis HaShach, of course, is Lavush, that we're talking about a case where they're able to do whatever they need to do without the line, and she'll still have more of a Yishev Adas if she knows that there's life. Fine. But that's so that's what it says over here in Shulchan Aruch, that whatever you can do Ayidei Shina, you should do Ayidei Shina. Whatever you should do, you could do Ayidei Akum, you should do Ayidei Akum. So in the situation of Yoledes, so you need to, the woman's in labor, you need to get her to the hospital on Shabbos. Usually you have a little bit of time to think. It's not, most situations babies are not born instantaneously. So then, if always better that if you can have a Nachri drive to the hospital rather than a Yisrael, so better to have a Nachri drive to the hospital, better to have a taxi drive than to drive yourself. Better to have a non-Jew call the taxi than for you to call the taxi. So if you don't have the immediate time pressure, you have a few minutes to spare. So then we'll talk about it a little bit when you're supposed to go to the hospital, when you're allowed to go to the hospital. But better to do what you can, i.e. Nachri. The classic Sefer, contemporary Sefer on Hilchos Yoledes V'Shabbos, is the Torah Sayoledes, written by Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, one of his earlier Sfarim, written at this point 30 years ago. So as all this material is a very cheerful Sefer. So he has the following cheshbon as far as trying to minimize the malachar, doing whatever you can on Yidei Nachri. So he writes the following. Best is to have a non-Jewish driver. And then he says, let's say you have a choice. Between having a Jew drive a taxi, drive a car, or having a Jew drive a horse and buggy. So let's say you're on Central Park West and you're going to Mount Sinai to have a baby. So you can either have a Jew drive a car, or you can get in a horse and buggy. So he says, better to go in the horse and buggy, better to go in the wagon. Because traveling on a horse or a wagon on Shabbos is only an issur d'rabbanan, and traveling in a car is an issur d'oraisa. So if you have to have a Jew drive you, so better that the Jew should drive you on a horse than to drive you in a car. But let's say the choice is between a non-Jew driving the car or a Jew driving the horse and buggy. What would you say? Why? Right, because you're not doing anything, and in the case of the horse and buggy, so then you're mishtamish b'val chayim, and even though that's only nisr d'rabbanan, but you're involved in the driving. So it'd be better even if the horse and buggy driver is a non-Jew. Meaning you have the horse and buggy driver is a non-Jew and the car driver is a non-Jew, so better to go in the car than the horse and buggy, because you're not doing anything if you're going in the car, but if you're going in the horse and buggy, that's considered mishtamish v'bal chayim.
Even if you're not the driver?
Even if you're not the driver, because you're contributing to that's the issur d'rabbanan mishtamish v'bal chayim, you're using the horse. That's his cheshbon.
Go back on what you said earlier, which was
right.
Either a Jewish taxi driver or a Jewish horse and buggy driver, the horse-drawn wagon is better.
Because the Jews doing the malacha regardless. So there's less malacha involved if you go in the horse and buggy than if you go in the car. If everyone's Jewish, so there's less malacha involved in the horse and buggy than the car. Right?
Okay.
But if they're both non-Jewish,
yeah.
So then it's better to have the car than the horse and buggy, because the Jew is violating an issur d'rabbanan of mishtamish b'bal chayim. If he's going in the horse and buggy. Right.
So basically the mishtamish b'bal chayim is worse than a mir liakum.
It's worse than a mir liakum, right. Okay. Anyway, that doesn't come up l'maisa so much. Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva in Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Lamed Beis about whether a spouse, husband, is allowed to travel together with the Yoledes to the hospital on Shabbos. Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Lamed Beis. So first, Rav Moshe attempts to distinguish between the case of Ner, as he would have said, just like in the Gemara, you're allowed to light a candle on behalf of a Yoledes in order to provide a Yishev Adas, so you should be able to travel with her also to contribute to her Yishev Adas. So initially, Moshe isn't so convinced about that equation. He says, no, when it comes to a Ner, so that's universal, that every woman is going to feel better if she knows that there's light in the room. But who's to say that everyone feels better if they have someone accompanying them in the car to the hospital? So that's what Moshe initially says, and then he acknowledges in the second part of the tshuva that under many circumstances it does contribute to Yishev Adas. So that is considered, if the woman wants someone to travel, that is considered Yishev Adas. And Lemaisa, you're not adding to the Chil HaShabbos. The car is going anyway. The non-Jewish driver hopefully is driving anyway. Especially if the hospital is inside the Tchum. So then he said that someone can travel along. That's a generally accepted psak in practice. Shmir Shabbos writes this in Perek Lamed Vav Siv Zayin. Perek Lamed Vav Siv Zayin. And he quotes there, and others quote, the letter from the Chazon Ish, in which the Chazon Ish said that you should do the Sechachila, meaning it's advisable for someone to travel with the Yoledes to the hospital. Okay. Yeah, Avi.
According to the Tzom, what they're doing is if the hospital is outside of
the Tzom? Rashi says it's better if it's in the Tzom, but even if it's outside of the Tzom, because it's for the Yeshiva Das, you're allowed to travel. Yeah. Okay. In the Hakdamah to the Sefer Torah Seyoledes, he quotes the following from the Sefer Chassidim. It's not the same line as the Sefer Chassidim that the Magen Avraham quotes, we'll see in a minute. But the Sefer Chassidim writes in Siman Tavshin Tzadi Gimel that if a woman is pregnant, once she enters the ninth month of pregnancy, she should daven that she shouldn't give birth on Shabbos so that you don't have to be Mechal Shabbos. That's what he quotes in the Sefer Chassidim. And he points out that seems to be in line with what the Gemara tells us in Nida Daf Lamed Ches, that the Chassidim Rishonim would time their conception in such a way as to that their wives shouldn't give birth on Shabbos. They used to have a much more precise calculation of how long a pregnancy should be. So it's only a 3-day window of how many days after conception you could the baby's going to be born. So they would time conception for the middle of the week, or Wednesday, so that they wouldn't have to give birth on Shabbos. So Rabbi Zilberstein points out that seems to be consistent with this notion of the Sefer Chassidim, that you should daven, even though it's true that if you have a situation of Yoledes on Shabbos, that's a Chol HaShesh B'Sakana, you're Mechal Shabbos, but you should daven, you shouldn't get into such a situation. So he says, so Rav Zilberstein says, but one second, if Pikuach Nefesh is Hutra, so then why do you even have to daven not to get into that situation? The Hutra is Hutra. He says, even if Pikuach Nefesh is Hutra, but you sometimes have situations where in the heat of the moment, things get a little bit, you're a little bit out of sorts, you're bahol, and you may end up doing things that involve the Chil Shabbos where there isn't really any tzorach. If people sometimes have the wrong mindset that in a situation of a Yoledes, you don't have to make any cheshbonos, and you can do anything. So, if there's any time pressure, you do what you need to do, litzarech the Yoledes. But that doesn't mean that you can do anything without thinking about it. The Magen Avraham here quotes the other more famous part of the Sefer Chassidim. In Sifrat and Aleph, Mechalin al HaShabbos, V'chein kishetagia l'chodesh Tishii, Yav ben Akomi Ere Shabbos, Shelo Yechalu Shabbos. So, once the ninth month comes, a person should have everything ready to minimize the need for Chil Shabbos on Shabbos, should there be a situation of childbirth on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it dropped differently in Sivkat and Aleph. Min haro'oi li'isha shigi l'chodesh tishii l'hazmin makol er Shabbos kol advar min nisrachim la. It's appropriate that a woman, once she gets into the ninth month, should get everything ready before Shabbos. The Shema Yizdamili does for Shabbos, maybe she'll give birth on Shabbos. V'lo tifsarech l'chal Shabbos. That you wanted to do Mechal Shabbos for things that you could have prepared before Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Min Aroi. Minarai sounds like it's appropriate, it's a good idea, but it's not an absolute requirement. So the Torah Sayyolet just points out, this is all in Perek Beis. Perek Beis Ara Aleph, that maybe the Mishnah Berurah uses a Lashon and a Minarai, because bottom line, there's no surety that there's going to be a situation of Yoledes on Shabbos, as opposed to, let's say, the Isser of Eima Fligim B'Sfina Gimel Yom Kodem B'Shabbos. According to some Rishonim, the reason you can't set out on a sea journey within three days of Shabbos is because you're going to be forced into a situation of Chil Shabbos. So there, it's inevitable that there's going to be Chil Shabbos involved, so that's why you can't bring yourself in that situation. Here, there's nothing inevitable. There's a chance that it may happen, but it's not a vados. He says maybe that's why the Mishnah Berurah is Lashon of Min Haro'i. So there is a discussion as a derivative of the Sefer Chassidim, to what extent should a person go during the ninth month to spend Shabbos somewhere close to the hospital, so they won't have to, let's say, be driven to the hospital on Shabbos, should the woman go into labor. So in the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa Perek Lamid Vav Siv Zayin, he writes that a woman doesn't have to put herself in the situation of being next to the hospital or near the hospital on Shabbos if it's going to pose difficulty. If all things are equal and you have a comfortable place to stay near the hospital a block away on Shabbos, so then Shmir Shabbos sounds like that would be a good idea. But if there's difficulty, either a financial difficulty or a comfort level, there's no comfortable place to stay, or it's not easy, or you have other kids at home, and it's not going to be a comfortable Shabbos, so then you don't have to go through that effort. And he says he heard that in the name of the Chazon Ish, and he heard that from Shlomo Zalman. In the Sefer Torah Sayoledes on page Kavav, he quotes from the Chazon Ish something else, that if the Yoledis is able to stay near the hospital, then it's appropriate to do so. But these two representations of the Chazon Ish aren't necessarily disagreeing. It's a matter of convenience. The first citation of the Chazon Ish is where it's not so convenient, but if all things are equal and it's convenient enough, then the Chazon Ish said that's appropriate. Many quotes from Rav Eliashiv, a letter which is reprinted in Kovitz Tshuvos Chelek Aleph Siman Mem Gimel. Kovitz Tshuvos Chelek Aleph Siman Mem Gimel, that there's no chiyuv to stay near the hospital for Shabbos. And he writes that Gemara Nida of the Chassidim HaRishonim that would try to avoid childbirth on Shabbos by timing their conception, that was Midas Chassidus. That's not reflective of normative halacha. And then he quotes in the Torah Sayyoledes from Rav Sturmbach. Rav Sturmbach wrote that there's a difference between Mafligim B'Svin or Yosim B'Shayara and the situation of Yoledes. But even by Yosef B'Shayara, even though it's true that Eima Fliga B'Sfina in Yosef B'Shayara, so you're not supposed to start a journey within 3 days of Shabbos because that's potentially going to lead to Chil Shabbos, but if it's Dvar Mitzvah, so then you're allowed to do it. And the Mordechai, according to Shulchan Aruch, has an even a broadly expansive definition of Dvar Mitzvah in that sense, even for business may be considered Dvar Mitzvah. So we have ample allowances for being Maflik B'Svin or being Yosef B'Shayar within 3 days of Shabbos. So there, even though you know that there's going to be Vadei Chil Shabbos by setting out on the journey, you're still allowed to do so the Dvar Mitzvah. Here it's only a suffix whether you're going to go into labor on Shabbos, and you're not yotze b'sheyari, you're not mafik b'sfinu, you're not putting yourself in a situation, you're just staying home and doing nothing. So in that case, there's nothing wrong with staying home and doing nothing in a comfortable environment. He does say that if you're the early stages of labor and you sense that you're going to have to go to the hospital soon after Shabbos begins, so then you should get to the hospital before Shabbos or get near the hospital before Shabbos.
That last part of the sentence is that
Which? No, Shmir Shabbos says the same thing, that if you chacham ein avrosho, and if you see that that is imminent, so then you should get yourself to the hospital before Shabbos. Avi.
The way the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah quote the Chassidim, I didn't say this from inside, but I wouldn't have read it Pashut saying that you have to spend Shabbos there.
No, the same because he was talking about getting yourself together. This is an extension, another step.
But does anyone, where's the earliest, I guess, on the record of that step? I mean, does Hasidim make that step, or did everyone just make that step based on what?
Until relatively recent times, people had babies at home. So it wasn't wasn't relevant.
All right, that was Carlos Averta.
Right. You're not going anywhere. You're bringing the midwife from wherever she is.
Okay. What else could they have been alluding to that she has to get her stuff together? What the Magen Avraham was saying. I imagine, in my mind, that's what we do.
So
she's getting her car keys. I don't know.
Correct. So the Sefer Chassidim doesn't mean packing your hospital bag. The hospital's coming to you. It means making sure that there are ample candles burning on Shabbos, that if you need light during the night, you'll have a candle burning all night. Making sure that any lotions or oils or any thing that you're going to need, the shaman that the Gemara talks about, it's all accessible so that you don't have to light a flame to heat something up or get your materials on Shabbos.
Oh, okay.
In our contemporary times, it means packing the hospital bag and making sure that your phone's set up to minimize or whatever Kiddush Shabbos is necessary. Hopefully you can find a guy to make the phone call, or having everything. If you're going to have to drive, so then the bag should be in the car before Shabbos. If you're going to have to drive, more relevant than Eretz Yisrael in here, because here usually you can find a non-Jewish taxi. But if you're, for whatever reason, you're stuck somewhere with only Jews, so then you have your... You disable whatever lights don't need to be on the car, etc., etc. To make all those preparations before Shabbos. Rav Schechter is more of the mindset that it's appropriate to try to be near the hospital for Shabbos in the ninth month. But again, in a situation where it's feasible and pragmatic, and isn't going to create undue hardship. Rav Asher has a tshuva chelak aleph siman kafe, in which he thinks that there isn't a need to do that even under any circumstances, kemat, that the Sefer Chassidim is minin chassidus. But that's what Rav Schechter was talking about at the Chagas Micha yesterday, that even if normal people don't have to profit midas chassidus, the Rabbanim should. Rav Asher seems to be saying even Rabbanim don't have to follow this midas chassidus, and that's... Even the Magen Avraham does quote it, but then again, this is an extension of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is not talking about this kind of a situation. So that's a brief tshuva in Chelek Aleph Simin Kafe. The Torah Yeledes has another observation, which seems to make sense, although I don't recall seeing it discussed elsewhere. That let's say you anticipate if you're going to have to go to the hospital on Shabbos, the hospital is outside of the Tchum. So first he says one interesting thing, that let's say it's way out of the Tchum. So if it's a little bit out of the Tchum, so he says he should, Erev Shabbos during the ninth month, he should make an Erev Tchumen. So that you can leave the Tchum if necessary. But let's say it's way out of the Tchum. It's past 2,000 Amos, past 4,000 Amos from the city, past 2,000 Amos from where you'd make the Erev Tchumen. So he said, even so, you should still make one Erev Tchumim, because then at least you're minimizing the distance Chutzatchum that you're following, that you're traveling. That's interesting. And then he makes the other observation, which Rabbi Karp has as well in his Sefer, that in principle we have the following problem, that not only is an individual not allowed to leave the Tchum, so if it's the Thorech Bikoch Nefesh, then obviously you're allowed to leave the Tchum if necessary, but Kalim also aren't allowed to leave the Tchum. So Kalim are Kona Shvisa, the place where they begin Shabbos. So you're not allowed to bring anything with you. So let's say you have certain things that you have to bring with you to the hospital. So you're carrying those out of the Tchum. So better, he says, that the din is that Kalim shel Hefker, Varm shel Hefker, not Kona Shvisa. So whatever you're going to bring with you to the hospital, you should be mafkir before Shabbos. And then you don't have the problem of Kalim that are shown as Kona Shvisa in one Tchum being brought outside of the Tchum. So he says the Chachili should do it in front of a Bezdin, and you should be mafkir your hospital bag before Shabbos. Yeah.
In this case, is this the same type of basin as that has in there? Mamash, you need three people. Like, can you just do...
Hataras and Dami also need three people.
Huh?
Hataras and Dami also need three people.
Can you just use one Mumchum for
nothing? We don't have Mumchum so much. That would be three people, so that's... That's his suggestion. So when do you call the Mialedes, or when do you go to the hospital in contemporary terms? So in Simen Shin Lamed, Sif Gemul, this is a Gemara on Daf Kaf Tes, says in Shulchan Aruch as follows, Nikres Yaledes L'chala Shabbos Mishiteshev Al Mashber. So the Gemara has three definitions of what's considered a Yoledes. At what point is she a Chola Sheyesh Basakana? As far as Shabbos is relevant to at what point she becomes a Surah Labayla, as we discussed last year in our Limud of Hilchot Nida. So Misha Teisha Bal Mashper, when she sits on the birth stool, Misha Shadam Shoseis, when the blood pours out, the Yoreda Misha Shechav Rosa, Nosa Sasab Rosa, the point that she can't walk on her own anymore. So that's what the Gemara indicates here on Daf Kuf Kates, that we're making, like any of the reasons of the Gemara, that once she exhibits any of these three signs, then you're allowed to mechal Shabbos on her behalf. So whatever Yoshevet Al Mashber is, it's very possible that by the point a woman reaches the stage of halachic yoledes, if you wait to call the doctor or go to the hospital at that till that point, you may well not make it in time. So can you go to the hospital earlier? The Taz says over here, actually, we'll read it from the Mishnah Berurah. If you have a Mishnah Berurah in front of you, take a look at Mishnah Berurah Simchat and Taz. So the Chaver says if the woman exhibits one of these three signs, you're allowed to be karul in the aledis, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. V'davka le'inyan advarim asher efshar la'sosem b'li ichor v'ikuf. So what we're talking about here is those elements of chil Shabbos that you'll be able to perform at that point without any delay. So if it's something that's not going, it's not going to detract from the effect. If you wait until this point, so then you wait until this point. Aval, le'inyan kriyas chachama mimakam rachok. But let's say the midwife is miles away, and she has to travel to get there in time for the birth. She'im damtin ad she'urim ha'ela tis akir rachach malavo. But if you wait until she's Yoshevet Al Mashber, and then you only call the mialedes at that point,
then the baby's coming out faster than the Yeledis is going to get there. So, okay, Mishashem Argeshev Tzas, Afilu Besafik Mutter Bekriyasa. So even if she isn't sure, but she's feeling the earlier contractions, so then you'll have to call them Yeledis, or in our contemporary terms, travel to the hospital, Afilu Hirachoka Gimel Parsos. So that's what we assume. That there's no midas chasidus in waiting to go to the hospital until she's about to have a baby. But if there's going to be a delay, then you're allowed to, you should, get to the hospital earlier. Avi.
The woman begins to feel that she might be going to labor near the end of Shabbos. Is there any need to wait till after Shkia at that point?
So if she can anticipate that nothing's going to happen, there'll be enough time to get to the hospital after Shabbos, so then she should wait. If she's not sure, then she should go. Rabbi Sobolovsky was asking me earlier today, is there someone asked him the following question, he's gotten this question, is there less malacha involved in making a straight phone call to a cab or in ordering an Uber? So I still have a flip phone, I don't know the first thing about ordering an Uber. But so are there more buttons pressed by...
Than the individual numbers you would press?
Let's say you're using a cell phone anyway.
There is more color change happening. I don't know if that might be.
You don't take a credit card. You just have to put it where you're going.
You have to put an address?
You probably stay. Presumably, the focus of how many buttons you're going to push is depending on your phone. Each of them, you could have shortcuts. You could have the.
But both making a phone call and ordering an Uber involve relatively similar numbers of buttons pressed.
Probably
less numbers if you have to call, because numbers, what, 10 digits?
No, you can have
it. You have a speed dial.
I'm saying it's less, even though it's 10 buttons.
No, but the Uber might, if you start putting in the name of the hospital, it might recognize it.
Well, you can have both programs on your phone and just push, one or two. You could have your wife's phone as an Uber and your phone as a hospital. You have the phones ready to push. The shell is going to be the transaction. The transaction on Uber happens automatically if your credit card already saved.
Right.
So it just automatically happens.
Okay.
The taxi use.
The taxi, there are, from neighborhoods, there are often arrangements where you'll pay after Shabbos.
Right. You could also have it, if it's better that way, you can have it, you can give them your credit card beforehand. Also, you can have an account with them.
Right. Mm-hmm. I still think it's better if you have an old-fashioned phone without any lights or displays.
Most homes they still have landlines, right? Or am I being naive? My parents still have it.
Most newly ones are not going to have
landlines. I'm not talking about
even the newer landline phones.
Talking about an old-fashioned phone that doesn't have any bells or whistles or lights or writing. Now, most folks can assume that LED lights are derabanan, and whatever you have your phone is probably old derabanan, and it's ksiva derabanan. Even the Rav Asher thinks that LED lights are deraisa, chelik alef michas Asher, but I think most people can assume that's they're probably only talking about the Rabbanan anyway. Although, let's say you have a phone, is every phone only going to be an LED bulb, or are there phones that have
LEDs?
Not a cell phone, like an old regular phone with fancy display on the top.
That might be less common than a horse and buggy.
That's what I have. I I assume that I'd assume that the old-fashioned phone would involve less Chillul Shabbos. I still have one of those. Should the need ever arise? But if anyone,
not
the rotary, no, not the rotary phone.
Hey, aren't
without any,
I'm sorry? Aren't fluorescent lights similar to LEDs in terms of electric status?
Yeah, I'm talking about opposed to incandescent.
You're saying you think your phone has an incandescent bulb in it? It would have burned out by now. It's the old phone.
Probably.
It probably is probably not an incandescent, that's the one that would still be alive.
Okay.
What are you
asking? I'm sorry? You have to do some research on going it out. If you figure out an algorithm for this, let them know.
What about when the payment takes place? Shouldn't that be a factor?
Yes. Is there a way of prepaying or postpaying?
Well, Uber,
it's all automatic. So what? Fine. So what's the malacha?
You're still when you pass the button, you're not.
I'm sorry. So if the only way to get the car is to pay, so you pay. You pay. That's right to their money. Is it better
to set up a system?
That's the question. If it's all, you're saying the same click, both does a payment and orders a car, right? So you're not doing any additional.
Really have enough, right? Who's making the app?
If you really think about it, if you look at what time the credit card payment goes through,
right?
It only goes through after you finish.
Except now I think
Ubers and cancel them, the payment doesn't happen.
Okay. You're doing a single action, so I don't know if the additional payment that.
I went over his mail last year from London.
Who again? For these purposes.
Right, but if Simon is like me, we both have, see this? I can't tell left from right.
Okay. Fine, so we'll stop here.